fighters today. I'm excited to let you in on a conversation I had with my buddy Troy Galletly. He is an excavation contractor down in Tennessee. Hit the show notes if you need a guy like him or you want to work for a guy like him. But we talk about his take on recruiting younger people. He's 28. He's in his second full year of business right now, and he's doing a lot of things right. Got a good take on how to build a team of young guys, how to map out their future and some things like that. So anyway, without further ado, here's Troy. Troy, welcome to the fight. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Tom. How's it going today?
I'm living the dream, man. Just coming literally a couple hours ago. My stepdad and sister pulled out of town. They were here for a week, and it was nice to see them. They were visiting. My sister, though, not that anyone gives a shit about this, but she was quarantined to the bedroom for 3 or 4 days because she had COVID. She got COVID somehow. Man. So nobody else here has it, but she got it, which kind of sucked because we didn't get to hang with her a whole lot. But
yeah, that's fun.
Anyway, no, it was good. So yeah, family's gone. The house is getting back to normal and all that stuff. So dude, before we dig in, I'm excited about this because there's an angle we're going to talk about with the labor force here that I think is pretty cool. But before we get into that, give us kind of a 30,000 foot view. Who are you? What do you do? Where do you live? How long you been doing it? All that good stuff.
Sure. So my name's Troy Galletly. I'm the owner of Excavation Contractors. We're based out of Middle Tennessee. We do a lot of drainage and grading work, and I am just coming up on my second year in business right now.
Nice.
So we started like right in the middle of COVID, which was awesome.
So summer of 2020, you started.
Yep.
So you had half of 20.
Yep.
And you had half to, and what'd you do before this?
Worked in like heavy civil construction, so doing highways and stuff like that. And then I worked for a industrial contractor running their civil engineering department.
Now, does this heavy equipment stuff and civil engineering and industrial stuff, does this run in the family?
My dad's more of a general contractor, so he's a contractor, but never really ran too much equipment. I always remember like whenever you had the backhoe or whatever, I was always on it with him hanging out, but more of the equipment side of it, I'd say I got a liking for probably during college when I got to operate some equipment and really learn it in the field. So
what'd you study in college?
Construction management.
Okay.
Yep.
How has that benefited you?
Really? It's funny. I got an internship and it was my first one. And the project manager I reported to sat me down the first day and he goes, look, I don't give a shit what you learn in college. Basically, all we're looking for is, can you commit to something for 4 years and finish it through? And which was funny because most of what I learned was actually from those internships. And then also, because I kind of hopped around from different companies to kind of figure what I like to do. That, you know, going to college and getting that degree kind of just helped me get the foot in the door for all of these different types of companies. So that's really how it benefited me and taught me how to, you know, bid commercial jobs. It was a little bit different than, you know, doing home improvement stuff, but, and taught me how to operate and do labor work and things of that nature.
It's cool factor to heavy equipment, man.
Yeah.
You know, real cool factor. I don't remember. I don't know. You said you're what? 28, 29, 28.
Yeah, 28. Okay.
I don't know if you remember this when you were a kid, and I couldn't even begin to tell you the name, but I remember long time ago, there were like these videos that came out where somebody took a video camera and just filmed like heavy equipment, moving dirt and shit. And they sold it to little kids.
Yep.
And they branded. Do you remember that? Do you have any recollection of that?
I got it. I got it actually for my daughter the other day. It was like on Amazon Prime or something. And I was like, oh, I remember this. And I bought it for it.
Dude, they made like millions of dollars. They sold so many of those because it would just occupy the little kid. You know, it's like,
I was sitting there just watching it with her and I was like, man, I got to go and like work or do something else. You know?
Yeah. I was in, where were we? I think we were in Dallas last summer or something. And No, it was Denver. I don't remember, but wherever it is, it doesn't matter. We were in this hotel, and like right across from my hotel was this big, huge skyscraper going up with a big, huge crane and all that stuff. And that is just like, you really sit there and start watching the cranes and the heavy equipment and all these different things, man. You really, for me, number one, the thing that came to my mind more than anything was the amount of frickin' liability and danger and how much responsibility is at the hands of somebody behind that much equipment.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, you're moving lots of stuff, big pipe, you're laying pipe, Troy. There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, it's that's cool. Yeah. So you know those videos. That's awesome. I just remember seeing those and I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. Some cat decided, hey, let's film heavy equipment and sell it.
They figured it out, man. Sitting on the beach sipping margaritas or whatever he's doing, man.
That'd be an interesting guest to have in here. I gotta find out who started that thing. So so one of the things that I wanted to dig into, we were talking before we hit record here, was just how you feel like your workforce stands out, your crew. You got a small company now, you know, and you're cool if I share what you told me about your first full year and stuff. Okay. Yep. So 2020 in the summer, you started, you finished the year, then 2021 starts. So in your first full year of business, you did $500,000 in revenue.
Yep.
And then this year, 2022, we're recording this on June 13th. You're almost $500,000 already this year.
Yep.
And so just to give people some context, so super young business, you're a young dude, you're under 30. What is it about your workforce that you wanted to share that we were talking about before?
Yeah. So the average age of our entire company right now is 24 years old. I've got a project lead right now who is very quickly transitioning into a foreman position. He's got a company truck and a company car, and I kind of threw him to the wolves real quick. What happened was I had these foremen who were, you know, mid to late 30s and kind of stuck in their ways. And one thing led to another, and it was this guy's first day on the job and the foreman quit. And then I went up to him, took him out to dinner afterwards. I go, hey man, look, you just became my right hand man. So if you want to stick around, you will grow very quickly in this company. And he was kind of like a deer in the headlights at the time, because he was like, it was a whole shit show to say the least. And threw him to the wolves, and man, he's been working out. I mean, it's awesome.
So I want to dig into this a bit, because you young guys, I think, often catch a bad rap.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, and do you know where I'm going with this?
Yep.
Tell me where I'm going with this without me even saying it. What am I about to say? Because I have a sense that you feel it. You said, yeah, you agreed really quickly.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's the whole stigma around, like, younger guys don't want to work. They just want to take the easy route. You know, no one wants to work with their hands anymore. No one wants to take responsibility for things. And really, that's all bullshit. For one, that's the whole reason why I started this company, is because everyone told me I was too young. Mm-hmm. I was taking all these management positions and left one company because they stuck me out in the field to manage a project. And I go, okay, cool. I'm a project manager now, right? And they go, no. So I said, all right, see you later. Second company, same thing. You're too young. And I started applying for jobs. They all tell me I'm too young. And so basically my middle finger back to them was like, all right, starting my own company. Started the company. And then that's the same thing that happened with my project lead, is going to be a foreman here pretty soon. They told him, hey, look, you're going to operate machinery, you know, get some more responsibilities. He ended up leaving because he didn't operate any machinery at all with that company. And so we brought him on, and, you know, he's really stepped up to the plate for sure.
Fighters, don't miss out on Mile High Profit Summit 2022. We're going to be outside of Denver in Westminster, Colorado, September 14th through 16th for the epic premier, most kick-ass event in the construction industry this year. One of the speakers there is my good buddy and my personal coach, Ben Newman. If you don't know the name Ben Newman, just go ahead and Google it. But listen, he's a highly regarded performance coach, international speaker, best author. He works for the NFL, PGA, NBA, MLB, UFC, NCAA. In fact, he is the mental conditioning coach for the 18-time national champion Alabama Crimson Tide football team. And he's worked with players all over the NFL and a huge influence in my life personally. So I encourage you to get your butt to Denver in September and be in the room with 500 other contractors that are totally going to level up their game as business owners, as people, as partners, as spouses, because that's what we do in the contractor fight. And as always, tickets are half price for your spouse or business partner because it's that important that your other half is in the room with you. When you get everybody rowing in the same direction, good things happen. So head to thecontractorfight.com, click the menu where it says Profit Summit, and get your butt to Denver. I'm out. What advice do you give somebody who's older who thinks that young people don't give a shit, they don't want to work, they can't be trusted, things like that? Because, you know, you've been part of the fight in our programs for a while, and you know, you've heard me say, like, you have to have a clear path for people to grow or they're not going to stay. And that's what happened with you, and that's what happened with your right-hand guy. So what do you tell that person about just how to recruit people that are younger right now?
So again, it's about like attracting the right company culture for one. And, you know, we talk about culture a whole bunch, but I actually want to kind of talk about that whole clear path thing that you just brought up, because, you know, people have shared their mastery ladders and stuff. And so the first thing I did when I started creating or bringing people on was, all right, let's create this mastery ladder. I printed it out. My project lead literally keeps the mastery ladder with him. And maybe like, you know, once a month or maybe every other week, we kind of go through it and go, okay, here's where I think you need work. Here's where I think you need this. Cause like, I go, let's just make this thing black and white. And he loves it. He literally keeps it with him in his truck and has it there. And when he thinks he's like ready to step up and pay grade or whatever, we sit down and go over it. So younger guys, they want to like see themselves in the future somewhere. So you kind of put that mastery ladder in front of them and their eyes light up.
How'd you recruit him?
Actually, it was one of the other foremen, but on Indeed, really, all these guys, a lot of people are saying that they're having trouble with hiring people. Honestly, I throw a couple hundred bucks at Indeed. I go and look at everyone else's listings that they're hiring for the same position. And then I bump it up a few bucks on top of that, which really goes back into like knowing your numbers and charging for what you can. So like, yeah, we are a little bit more expensive than every other contractor, but I attract probably 30 people every time I put an ad out for a labor or operator position. There's tons of people to choose from. You kind of just cast a wide net and call, you know, 10 of them and kind of knock it down from there.
What kind of criteria do you have in somebody's character that you're looking for? How do you discern that?
I'm looking for someone who's really kind of like self-driven, because I don't want to have to babysit, but I understand that there is kind of like a starting period where you've got to walk them through it. And so what I do is I go out in the field, and each time I hire someone, I'm kind of sitting there with whoever's the lead person and training them on how to train that person.
Okay.
And so once we get that kind of start up of like, okay, they've been working with us for a couple of weeks, I've now trained my foreman on how to manage and train an operator or train a laborer, I kind of just let them go and let them run. So I'm really looking for kind of self-driven people that I don't have to babysit a lot. You know, I kind of let the guys on these jobs where they got to drive like an hour or whatever, I go, look, man, it's not a set start time. So I understand, you know, waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning to get there, you know, get your materials, get everything ready. Like, I understand you got a life too, you know. I kind of let them run with it, and they really kind of appreciate that as well. So
what's one of the biggest mistakes a guy's made and what it would cost you? Like, I'm just curious. Oh man, I wish everyone could see your face right now. Definitely ask that question.
Honestly, I can't even go into that, Tom.
Yeah, okay. Tell me the dollar amount. Just give me a dollar amount.
Well, it would have been 60 grand, but luckily we had insurance. So,
okay. Yeah. So what I want to, the reason I brought that up wasn't to pick on you, of course. It was to remind us all that in every profession, mistakes are made, you know? And one of the things that I used to chalk mistakes up to, man, with our younger guys especially, was I called it a training expense. I called it a marketing expense. It was R&D, man, because I personally made a lot of mistakes when I was a one-man show. I didn't do everything right, but I had nobody to yell at me for it, right? Or hold me accountable, like, other than the customer, and I had to make shit right. And so I want to encourage people, like, you're hiring these guys that are go-getters, you're cutting them loose, you're letting them do these things and give them that freedom. You have to expect some mistakes. And that's part of running a business, and it's part of running a business that sucks, but it's never going to go away. Right. I mean, you're still going to make mistakes. I'm still going to make mistakes, no matter how long we've been in the game. So a lot of guys don't delegate. They don't want to hire people and all this other stuff because they're like, oh, they're just going to fuck things up, you know, but how do you grow? Right. Cause I guess last soapbox moment of this, and we'll change gears here, is you're going to pay either way. You're going to pay to train people. And I've done both. You're going to pay the new guy and pay for training and mistakes and some of those things. Or I'm going to hire somebody who's got a lot of experience, but maybe not the best character. And I'm going to pay for that too, in some way, shape, or form, with a toxic culture or the prima donna syndrome and all that stuff.
100%.
Yeah. But the way you're nodding and smiling, you've been there. I can see
exactly
that.
Exactly.
So you mentioned Indeed as a platform that you use tactically. Any tips for somebody that's not having success running ads?
Throw a couple $100 at it, pay more, know your numbers. I mean, really around here, it's like a couple bucks is going to make a guy jump ship for sure, for one. And then on top of that, I've also got my, you know, project lead, the foreman. He's actually the one, I let him run through the resumes. I also do a run through the resumes. I let him pick who he wants to get out there. I let him do the interviews and kind of just sit back because I want him to have the responsibility of it.
Yeah.
He's the, like, poster child of our company. He's like, man, it is so awesome to work here. Like, you're going to love it if you join. Mm. And like, I don't even have to say anything. Right. And then we do get people that just, you know, they'll end up following the page. They'll reach out. I get people that'll reach out to us even when we're not hiring. Let's say, hey, look, I found you on, you know, Facebook is a big one for us.
Love it. They're out there, man. They're out there looking. There's a lot of good people. You got to keep telling yourself that. So, So one of the other things I want to touch on before we get out of here was something you said to me was, you know, just the value of being in a group like the Fight, all that stuff, because you get to learn from other people's mistakes. Tell us a little bit about where that comes from.
Yeah. So kind of to back up here real quick, when I first heard about, you know, the Fight and everything, or CSA actually getting into it, you know, before Battleground, I thought that all business coaching was a scam. And I was like, who the hell would even pay for stuff like that? And Derek was my sales guy, so to say, to get me in. And he's like, you just got to do it, dude. And this was back when it was like $3,000. And I was like, all right, let's just try it out. And like, hopefully I don't get scammed. But like, that was the best decision I ever made. Cause I had literally started the company. I was still working full-time for another company. I was doing stuff on weekends, like going out and giving bids and stuff, like trying to get the company going. And I needed to figure out how to streamline this better because I was driving like an hour and a half to bids for someone who's never going to buy from me.
Yeah.
And so I joined that program. And then once I got in there and then got in 100K, it was like, all right, there's this like wealth of knowledge, like not even from the coaches alone, but just from like everyone who's done it before. And so me and another member in there were just talking about it. Like, we've taken steps by joining this group, like right off the bat, to get up to like 500,000 in sales, where it takes guys like 10 years to get that shit done. And it's just because I'm asking questions and like finding the people that I can just call up in the group and kind of just, you know, shoot the shit with and figure out what worked and what didn't, because I don't want to make the same mistakes that they did. So might as well as just kind of get the wealth of knowledge from them and, you know, do it the right way the first time.
What was it that made you think coaching was all a scam?
It's probably just like, I don't know. There's all these like get rich quick things. And like, we were doing some residential, but like mostly commercial stuff. So to me, and in college, they don't even talk about doing residential stuff.
Right.
It's all commercial.
Yep.
To me, it's like, oh, I know how to estimate. I know how to do all this stuff. Man, I was like marking up my bids by like 25%. Cause I'm like, that's industry standard for commercial stuff. And like, oh geez, I would never even be like sitting here right now if it wasn't for like CSA 100K Battleground. So
I believe you can get rich quick. I don't believe you can get rich easy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm just giving my own personal philosophy. I think there's certain shifts we can all make in our businesses, right? That can move the money needle really fast, right? Mm-hmm. But it's rarely ever going to be easy. It's going to require commitment and sacrifice and grinding every day and being consistent and those things. But yep. When you dove in, you learned how to sell and communicate better with people. It saved you a shit ton of time. You put more money in your pocket while you still had another job. You know, I mean, you moved over the course of a few months, you moved the money needle pretty quickly.
Yeah.
You know, which is cool. So I want to bring this to a close with a couple questions here. Kind of give you the floor. Two things, and I'm going to shut up. I'll say both of them. You do them whatever order you want. Number one, you know, you're coming to Denver in the fall for Mile High. Mm-hmm. Just love for you to share what you're most looking forward to about that. And then number two, what else would you like to share with a couple hundred thousand contractors right now that we haven't talked about?
Sure. So, Denver, let's see, what I'm looking forward to the most is probably, I mean, obviously the event is awesome, but there's all these guys that you become friends with and you don't see, but you talk to like, I mean, once a month, twice a month. And so like getting to go see these guys, I remember meeting like Jared Shaw for the first time in Denver. That dude just ran up to me and just gave me like the biggest hug. And I'm like, hey man, what's going on? You know, it's like, seriously, everyone's like a big family there. So it's cool to get around. It's cool to have like the sidebar discussions. You know, maybe your gold nugget isn't even in anything that's said on the stage, but like, man, it's so powerful that like, I for sure cried at least twice during that whole event. You know, learning about myself and not even just about the company, but like my own family. Like I came back home and like committed myself to my family and my wife, you know? So that was huge for me. As far as things for contractors, I mean, like we're all starting to hear it now about like, oh, recession, this and that kind of bullshit. And everyone gets it in their head and everything, but we're scaling in this recession. And I can't even listen to the news half the time, but knowing the right way, how to market, get the name out there, follow your program for like hunting whales and like getting consistent leads and everything is absolutely essential. You hear a whole bunch of mentors out there say, you know, recession is not the time to hit the brakes. It's actually the best time to scale. And so like right now I'm sitting here like, all right, this is the time that we're going to like really attack, spend a bunch of marketing dollars and become like the top dog in our area.
I love that mentality, man. Because again, everybody for the most part shrinks back and the first sign of that stuff. And it's going to happen. It's, you know, recessions always happen. Downturns in the economy always happen. There's going to be inflation. There's going to be whatever it is always going to be part of life and business. And the time is going to pass anyway. You know, that's one of the things I learned. And one of the things I learned in the 08 recession, and I've done a pretty damn good job of it, I can say, since then, is I've operated my businesses like we're in a recession ever since then. Meaning, I try to run really lean on the overhead. I only have stuff that we call it carry a light pack, right? You only put shit in the pack you need for the journey, right? So you just got to be fanatical about the things that you're spending money on. And if they're not adding value to the business that you can absolutely look at and go, yes, this is adding value, it's got to go. And then the other side of that, it's really offense and defense. That's the defensive part. And the offensive part is always be stepping on the gas, always be building my brand, always be pushing to grow. Even if your goal, there was a guy the other day in a Facebook post was like, I don't want to grow this big, huge company. Why should I come to Denver? You know what I mean? And I, and again, whatever somebody's goals are, those are your goals. They're not my goals. I don't care. But I just know for me and many people that I know, if you're not in the habit of continually trying to grow and push and get better, you will die. Like it's going to happen because how you do one thing is how you do everything. And you'll slip into a habit one way or the other. So I'd rather have a growth habit. So that's, those are kind of my, those are my two biggest takeaways from the last time things took a dump.
Yeah, that is going to be interesting. And I'm definitely like too young to you know, obviously I wasn't working in 08, you know, for construction company. So.
Well, I had a buddy, he's a painter buddy that I knew. He used to wear this big button during the recession. He'd wear it all, so he'd go to all these events and it said, like networking events in his town. It said, business is great. Like he chose not to participate in the down economy. Yeah. And so I think one of the best things any of us could do is just mind our own business in the sense of just do what you know you need to do. Keep showing up. Keep hitting the rock every day, be like water, all that stuff that we talk about, win the moments. Right. Time's going to pass no matter what. And the good news for guys like you, Troy, is you're going to scale the shit out of your business on the other end of all this because most of your competitors are going to shrink back. They're not going to step on the marketing pedal or the sales pedal. They're going to lose people. You're going to get 3, 4, 5, 10 other employees over the next year or so, and you're going to gobble things up, man, because I've seen it happen so many times. Well, dude, I appreciate you carving out the time to do this. I know we had our internet issues and all that, but I'm glad we were able to make this happen today and see it through. If somebody wants to learn more about you, if there's a GC listening to this down in your area or whatever, somebody needs what you do, we'll put your links and all that in the show notes, but where do you want them to find you?
Facebook's the best. I mean, we post a whole bunch of our work on there and a few lives and pictures of everything. So that's probably the best way.
Okay. And what's it under on Facebook?
Facebook.com/excavation.contractors.
There you go. And we'll get that in the show notes along with your website and all that good stuff. And, dude, super proud of you, man. I, wish I had my shit together like you at 28. So you're going to own your own fucking island by the time you're 50.
That's so, the idea, right?
A couple of nice private jet, bunch of good stuff. So, so dude, appreciate you, man. And, everybody check out the show notes, check out what Troy's got going on and, give us a rating, give us a review. And, we'd love to see you guys in Denver with us at Mile High Profit Summit. And, with that, Travis, bring in the guitars. You guys, we are out of here.